pages 605 and 919. Once you've reached them, put a finger in one of them so you don't lose them. Not that high. That's it. Perfect. Thank you. Well, I'll add my welcome to those that have gone before, especially to you Welsh. Welcome to the Welsh. Bore da. All right, don't rub it in. So, we're in a sermon series on Proverbs. This is the second one, and Darren is going to come and read these passages. Before he does, an apology. I'm at the fag end of a cold, so if I cough and splutter, that's why. If you hear my teeth grinding, it's because of the result last night. But if I cough, then it's because I've got a cold. Okay, Darren's going to read 605, Proverbs 1, 20 to 33, and Matthew 7, 24 to 27.
Proverbs 1, 20 to 33. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Okay, thanks very much, Darren. Now, last week, Tim introduced us to the concept of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Now, who do you think of when you think of someone who is wise? Maybe this man. Who's that? That's Frank Field. Now, in all the shenanigans around the Labour leadership contest, Frank Field was one of the Labour voices, one of the Labour MP voices that people respected and listened to. Maybe when you think about someone who's wise, you think about this person. Who's that? Ian McGeoghegan. Now, during the Rugby World Cup, the broadcasters need someone who's able to speak about the game with authority, someone who's seen it all before and is able to analyse why this happened or why that happened. Maybe when you think about wisdom, you might think of this person. How many children of the 1980s have we got here? Who is that? Mr. Miyagi. Very good. What was his training technique? wax on, wax off, paint the fence. Let's not have a demonstration. If you're in a karate contest as the Karate Kid, you need someone wise to train you to beat the bully you're up against. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get the film. If only for the hairstyles. If only for the hairstyles. Maybe when you think of wisdom, you think of this person, but it's probably unlikely. This is Tilly Smith. She was with her family on a holiday in Phuket in Thailand on Boxing Day 2004, the day of the tsunami. That day, they were on the beach. She saw the sea receding and frothing bubbles on the surface of the sea, and she remembered something. She remembered that 2 weeks previously, she'd heard in her geography lesson that these were warning signs of a coming tsunami. This 10-year-old girl alerted her parents and the beach was evacuated. It was one of the few beaches on the island with no reported casualties. Now, think of what it must have been like for this 10-year-old girl, trying to convince her parents and others on the beach in Phuket, wondering if she'd remembered right from her geography lesson, trying not to think what a fool she would look if she was wrong, struggling to overcome her shyness, knowing that if she was right, then everyone would have very little time to get to higher ground. Those are the three people whose pictures I put up were experienced individuals who knew about politics, rugby, and karate. She was a 10-year-old girl who'd had a geography lesson, but she knew crucial life-saving information, and she passed it on. Now, do turn to Proverbs 1, to that passage that Darren read. Wisdom is represented as a woman crying out to save people. Now, what the character of wisdom says and how she says it can teach us much about God's message to mankind. And it teaches us four things. First, wisdom calls to everyone. Have a look at verses 20 and 21. Wisdom is calling out in the open, in the public square, on top of the wall, at the city gate. Wisdom wants to be heard by the maximum number of people. In the public square where people would gather. On top of a wall where her voice would carry. At the city gate, which was the place where the elders of the city, the important people, the decision makers, would gather to do their business. A call, therefore, to the important people and to the ordinary people. What would the equivalent be today? Maybe a social media strategy, slots on the radio and television, maybe doing like what George Galloway used to do around these parts at election time, travelling round with a loudspeaker. But the point is that wisdom is for everyone. Now, if we think of wisdom today, we might think it's not necessarily for us. If we get wisdom, it's as a result of a long time learning what works and what doesn't. It's gradual and something that can't be rushed. Or maybe it's just for philosophy students to think about whilst we do the washing up. But no, wisdom appeals to everyone, young and old, important and ordinary in the society. So wisdom is for everyone. Secondly, wisdom is urgent. Look with me, please, at verses 22 and 23. How long will you continue as you are? You need to take action. Change your ways. This is not something that can wait. Look ahead to verse 32. The complacency of fools will destroy them. People who think this is something for another day and not to be bothered with now come a cropper. Time is limited. Look back to verse 28. The time will come when it is too late for people to listen to wisdom and mend their ways. Wisdom says, act now. Don't delay. If there's a wave coming towards you that's going to overwhelm you, you don't hang around. You get out of the way quickly. Wisdom calls to everyone. Wisdom is urgent. Wisdom contradicts people. Maybe there were people on the beach in Thailand who'd been there many times before, who'd never heard of a tidal wave in that area. Maybe there were people who were wary about accepting the word of a 10-year-old girl. But whether they lived or died depended on whether or not they agreed with her assessment of what was coming. In this passage, we see that plenty of people disagree with wisdom. Follow these verses with me. Verse 22, people are mocking the message. Verse 24, people refuse to listen to the cry of wisdom or pay attention to her. Verse 25, all wisdom's advice goes unheeded. Does this deter wisdom? No. Wisdom keeps on crying out and hoping for a positive response. Wisdom keeps on pleading for people to change their ways and take on what she's saying. Wisdom calls for repentance. Repentance means turning around and facing in the opposite direction. Muddling along as you are doesn't do it. Wisdom contradicts people. Wisdom is a matter of life and death. If you're in the Labour Party now, gathering for your party conference, then doubtless who leads it is very important to you. You might closely have followed what Frank Field says about Jeremy Corbyn and what the prospects are for a Labour victory in 2020 if he's still the leader. If you're interested in rugby, you might be very interested in what Ian McGeoghegan has to say, because it's likely to colour your view of the game you're watching or about to watch. But no one dies if you don't listen to them. Whereas here, look at verse 27. Those refusing to listen to the message of wisdom are facing calamity, disaster, distress, and trouble. Verse 32 says that death and destruction awaits those who are foolish enough to disagree with wisdom's message or can't be bothered to engage in it. And the only way to get safe is to listen to wisdom and follow her guidance. But that leaves a whole bunch of questions. What is this message that wisdom is giving that's so urgent and important? For Tilly Smith, the message was clear and obvious. A tsunami is coming. You have to get to higher ground. Here we're told an awful lot about the activity of warning people and not much about the warning itself. And why is wisdom said to be a person? Look back to the passage that Tim preached on last week, the first seven verses of Proverbs 1. It talks about all these things. It talks about wisdom and discipline, insight, prudence, knowledge and discretion, learning and guidance. Now, if you talked about having any of these things, you wouldn't talk about them as a person. You talk about being wise, being disciplined, having insight, being prudent, etc., etc. Why does the Bible talk about wisdom as a person here? Well, how can wisdom be a person? How can we know what the message of wisdom is? Well, the New Testament gives us the answer. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says this to the church: you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Suddenly it makes sense that wisdom should be a person. Paul writes to the church in Corinth that in the midst of a society that valued human wisdom very highly, the true wisdom is to be found in Jesus. So if you want to gain wisdom, look at Jesus. And this is where I need you to turn to the New Testament passage that Darren read in the Gospel of Matthew. Let me read it again to you. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus in his parable sounds a lot like wisdom in the passage from Proverbs. A storm is coming. Whether you survive the storm will depend on what action you take. Now, in the words of our passage in Proverbs 1, there will be those who live in safety without fear of harm. And those are the people who build on rock. There will be others who calamity overtakes like a storm, when disaster sweeps over them like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm them. And their house, built without solid foundations, will crash into the sand. What does Jesus say is the difference between these two people? Well, both of them hear Jesus' words, but only one of them puts them into practice. Now, I think this helps to unlock the mystery of what wisdom is saying in Proverbs. Turn back again to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29. This says that those who will suffer destruction are those who do not fear the Lord. The New Testament passage tells us what it means to fear the Lord, to listen to the words of Jesus and put them into practice. Those people who do this are the people who build on the rock. So let's apply the lessons from this passage in Proverbs to Jesus' teaching. Firstly, wisdom calls to everyone. Jesus met with the ruling authorities, with the important people. He spoke with Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and told him he needed to be born again. But he spent most of his time with the ordinary people, or the rejected people, with prostitutes, with fishermen, with tax collectors, and with children. Wisdom in Proverbs 1 calls out in the public square. Well, that's where Jesus went. He met with the ordinary people. He didn't hide himself away in a religious huddle. He invited simple people to be his followers, not people born with a silver spoon in their mouth. He called to the weary and heavy laden to follow him. He still calls today. Wisdom is urgent. Jesus told people to get their house in order. He told a story about a farmer who kept on storing grain in his barn and who trusted in his wealth. Death came to him unexpectedly and found him unprepared. He told a story of young girls at a wedding, missing out on the wedding feast because they weren't prepared and who were shut out in the cold. This is what Jesus says in Luke 12. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is not something that can be left for another time. There is urgency because God's judgment will not be leaked in advance on Facebook. It will come as a thief in the night. The time to get ready is now. Wisdom contradicts people. Wisdom here in Proverbs 1 calls people foolish and complacent. At times it seems like Jesus did little but contradict people. He seems to take every opportunity to criticize the religious leaders. He runs counter to public opinion by reaching out to the outcast and the lepers. He causes a riot in his hometown by claiming to be the fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah. He speaks gently to the humble and harshly to the powerful. He was not afraid of putting noses out of joint by speaking the truth to power. Wisdom is a matter of life and death. Time and again, Jesus warns of the dangers of not doing what he said, of rejecting his teaching. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, "Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it." There are two paths. One is wide and full of people. It leads to destruction. One is narrow and lonely. It leads to life. Which path you take dictates whether you live or die. What can we take from this? Well, do you have important decisions to take? If you were on the beach in Phuket, you had a choice. You could follow the advice of a 10-year-old girl, or you could sit back and finish your drink and sunbathe some more. After all, she's a 10-year-old girl and you're a 40-year-old man. Who's likely to have the better idea of what's going on? If you'd thought that way, you would likely not have survived the day. Jesus warns us. Do we maybe listen to his warnings like a 40-year-old man listening to the pleadings of a 10-year-old girl and think that we know best? Jesus says that not everyone who does religious things will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Are you at the stage where you've heard lots of Jesus' words but have yet to act upon them? Words like, unless you repent, you too will perish. Accepting the truth about Jesus is costly. It means understanding that you've messed up and accepting that that's a problem which comes with a sentence of being separated from God for all eternity. The Bible calls that destruction. To accept that you're wrong is hard, but that's the way that leads to life. Listen to the call. Hear the words of Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father other than through me. Not through church, not through doing good things, not through youth clubs, not through Christian stuff, through Jesus. Do you need to accept that and respond to it? We're about to start Christianity Explored here. Come along. Work through what it means to be a follower of Jesus. However long you've been coming to this church, whether it's 1 week or 20 years, you need to respond if you haven't yet. Jesus' call is urgent, and it's a matter of life and death. Finally, how about us who've decided to follow Jesus? Imagine yourself in the place of that 10-year-old girl on Boxing Day 2004. She had an idea of the danger that she and her family were in. She could have kept quiet and hoped for the best. She could have whispered to her family and persuaded them to evacuate, but maybe she didn't want to embarrass the others on the beach. After all, it was none of her business, and she didn't want to intrude. It might be embarrassing. The others could fend for themselves. Well, fortunately, that's not what she did. She and her family got the beach evacuated and saved around 100 lives. We might very well think it would have been criminal for her to keep the information to herself. Those people would have been swept away. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. Where are we calling aloud with a message of Jesus? Where are our voices raised? What speeches are we making? Or maybe we don't want to embarrass others around us. After all, it's none of our business, and we don't want to intrude. It might be embarrassing. The others can fend for themselves. Is that any less terrible than not saving people from a wave in Thailand? If we believe the Bible, we believe a day is coming when there will be a separation between those who follow Jesus and the rest of humanity. For people to have a chance of being on the side of life, they need to hear the cry of wisdom. Who is going to deliver the message if not us? We will contradict people, but our message is urgent and a matter of life and death. We need to speak. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. The waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.